This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to 104.5 The Link on air with Ben Moyer, and in the booth I've got
Mike Miller. Hello, hello.
As always, it is the internet's best, only, late night, call in, phone in, text in, get on the air with talk show with creators and influencers around the web. Before we get into the calls, as always, we've got a quick intro section. And today's intro section sounds like introspection when you say it that fast. So
a little bit, yeah.
Segment,
Yeah, we're getting introspective here.
I don't want to. I'm slightly sick. I'm still wearing my work shirt. I drove into the office. It was back-to-back meetings. It's been crazy. I'm in the booth with a collar. You're never going to see this again.
Dressed up for the occasion.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, intro subject is... Favorite concert?
Yeah.
Most memorable, whatever you want to go with.
Most memorable. All right, so this is way back when I'm a kid. It's probably like 12, 13 years old, something like that. And I think I started listening to punk music because I had some friends who got me into it when I was younger. And one of the local... bands in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I grew up, was a ska punk band named Mustard Plug. And they still play, actually. And it was so cool. This was when they were like in their prime. And I just remember being like, you know, 4 foot tall. And they could just, like, people in the crowd could just fling you up like you weighed nothing. And you could actually crowd surf without crushing everyone. And I ended up on stage, and I jumped back in, and I got pushed back onto the stage, and I jumped around, and yeah, they were nice. Great.
They were great. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the ska piece. I mean, like, I personally, nothing against ska, but, like, it is a very hit-or-miss genre for me, for sure.
It can be. It definitely can be. Yeah. A lot of ska, like, I think it just goes for just being fun, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I get behind that. So, do you know the band 21 Pilots? They're very not well-known band at all. Kidding, obviously.
Yeah, they made it like pretty mainstream, right? Like they were one of the big. They ended up being like a pretty big pop band.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah.
So when they just started out, though, they were in Columbus, Ohio, and I was going to school about 40 minutes south of Columbus, Ohio, at the time. They played at my school, like in just the entryway of the school. And I missed that concert, but my friends went to Waffle House with them afterwards.
Wait, this is like on the way into to school, just like, hey, everybody, come on in, or like,
yeah,
after,
so,
like, just like
it was
a weekend
my college. It was just like one of the entryways that just set up like a makeshift like stage,
yeah.
And they had like a performance, and it was in their skeleton hoodies, and we're jumping around and going,
yeah,
berserk.
That's kind of fucking rad. Like they knew exactly who their audience was that they were going for, and they were like, fuck it, we're just going right where they are. We're just going to play. You can't avoid them.
Every single one of their concerts I've been to is the best concert that I've ever been to, hands down. Their energy is unmatched. But the best one was I was at a Cincinnati Reds game, right? That's the baseball team. I don't play sports ball. I don't know these things, right?
Yeah.
No, but anyways, I was in Cincinnati with my buddy who, like, fun fact, used to run like drugs and guns up and down the East Coast for a gang. Turned his life around.
It's all mom, bro.
But we're at this game, and we leave the game, and we're just wandering around, like, around Cincinnati. We hear this music, so we follow this music, and we just wind up at this outdoors amphitheater, and 21 Pilots is just performing for some reason. And so we're just like, yo, can we go in? And they're like, yeah, there's room, sure. So they just, like, let us in, and that was probably one of the most fun 21 Pilots concerts I've been to. It was amazing.
That's so sick. They're, like, a legendary, just show up out of nowhere, we're going to be at this spot playing type
band.
Dude,
before they got big, they had, I mean, they still have a cult following, but there's a reason they got so big. It's because of how, like, first of all, their music's fantastic, but also because of the cult following they had. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah. That's insane. That's super awesome.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to send you guys into the music here. We're going to open up the phones. Song you're going to be listening to is Don't Want to Be Dead Anymore by, and let me read this name because I'm going to get it wrong, is Koma Svensson featuring Van Syke. And with that, give us a call if you're driving through town, especially if you happen to be in the music content creation space. That's the vibe we're in tonight. So we want to hear from you.
Ben, we have a caller on line 40.
That's a new one, Mike. I gotta go down this board a bit to find number 40. All right, bringing him in, fading out the music. All right, caller, you're on air with Ben Moyer at 104.5 The Link. Who's calling in today?
Long time, first time. Finn McKenty here from the Punk Rock NBA.
No way, Finn McKenty. That's crazy. I have been a huge fan forever. Watch
what are
bunch
the
of
odds?
Stuff. I don't know, world. Man. It's crazy. We love having people call in here.
Is this
done
the morning zoo?
God damn it. All right, we got to cut him.
I got the wrong, I got
Mike
the wrong number.
Him.
Sorry.
No, you've done quite a bit, though. Everybody probably knows you for the Punk Rock NBA, but you've done a lot of, like, product and marketing for some big-name brands, and I think you were part of some sort of, like, music label back in the day, right? Or some sort of training program or something with musicians?
I've spent the past 10 years making education products for musicians. I worked at a company called Creative Live, which is like a Silicon Valley company that's online education for creative people, primarily photographers and graphic designers. But then when I joined the company, I started making sort of expanded into music. And so I was there for 4 years and did a bunch of stuff with bands that people might know about, like Converge and Periphery and Between the Buried and Me and Dillinger Escape Plan and stuff like that. I left that in 2017 to be a partner in the company that I'm currently with, which is called URM Academy. And we do similar kind of stuff. We teach people how to record music. And we've worked with lots, I don't know, we probably have like 150 bands or something on now, like Fall Out Boy and Bring Me the Horizon and Nickelback and Gojira and Lamb of God and lots more I can't remember. But yeah, so I've been making education products for about the past 10 years.
That's crazy. That's a lot. It's a lot. And I can't even imagine running one successful YouTube, let alone two, and an Instagram, and you're kicking off your LinkedIn. It's been popping off recently, I've seen, which is nice. Congrats there.
Yep. I mean, I have the reason I'm able to do that is because I hire people to help me. So I have one editor for my main channel, which is his name is Tim, and he's great. have another editor from my second channel named Evan, who is awesome. And then I have someone else. So her name is Ant, who does my shorts and TikToks and all that stuff. So definitely would not be able to do all that on my own. So delegation is definitely the key.
Yeah. I was going to ask some questions about that. Like, how do you create so much content at such a high quality? Makes a lot of sense that you have the editors doing a lot of the stuff there. What about like topics and the process for making the content? Do you storyboard it? Do you write it all down? Like,
for my main channel videos, yeah, I script everything. For my second channel, those are all Twitch highlights. I don't really do much to prep for those because I'm pretty good at just BSing off the cuff, I guess, at this point. So I might do a little bit of like prep for that, but not very much. And then all my reels and TikToks and stuff are just edited versions of my other content. And with Ant, she's awesome because I don't give her any direction as far as like what to pick or what to edit. Like, she just makes two of them a week for me, and that's that. And I've known her for like 10 years, so she knows me very well. And she also admins my Discord as well. So, you know, the reason why the point there is that the reason why she's able to work with me like that is because we know each other very well, like on a personal level.
She knows the type of taste you're going for with the content.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I was just going to say Discord is, I feel some people love it. Some people, the creators really lean into it. It's a huge place for them of creativity and interacting with their fans. And some people don't even know that Discord is a thing.
Yeah.
Which always surprises me when they're huge creators have never touched a Discord. Where do you land on that spectrum? I've actually never been in yours.
I think Discord is awesome. I mean, I've been a fan of, I guess, I mean, fan isn't even the right word. I've been into what I would call threaded discussion in one form or another on the internet since the 90s. There was a thing back then called Usenet, which most people, unless you're like a total turbo nerd, you've never even heard of Usenet. But like before like AOL, you know, message boards and stuff, there was Usenet. AOL message boards are basically like their version of Usenet. And so I was on that in like 94, I think, is when I started on that. And to me, Discord is just the evolution of that. I like Reddit a lot too. I mean, that's kind of my thing, is I like threaded text-based discussion. I don't actually really like video content that much. But obviously, you know, most people do. But yeah, so I think there's just a fundamental human sort of desire to have like text-based discussions like this. And Discord happens to be the current platform where that's happening the most.
I'm cracking up because Mike is making a video, like it's a video discussion app, which is hilarious.
Oh, I think it's great. I think that's a great idea. I'd be interested to hear more. Just for me personally, and for a lot of people, and you know, it's not either or, because you know, you're not going to get in a video chat when you're in line at the grocery store unless you're one of these people that FaceTimes at Target who should be boiled alive. but you know, other than that, you know, it's the different use cases.
Yeah, I 100% agreed. Yeah, the FaceTime on the subway thing and the Target is
you should
brutal.
Be thrown off the train.
Or like the parents that still have the clickety clack on the keyboard for the iPhone. Like every
yeah, there's different use cases, right? Like Reddit is great to share ideas asynchronously and you know, bounce in and out and stuff like that. Whereas a conversation like this is way more synchronous. You know, like you have somebody's attention or they have your attention, and it's hard to run away unless you click end the call.
But also much, you know, higher friction to get someone to commit to it and all that stuff. So they're just different. I'll tell you what I don't think is going anywhere is in a good way. I mean, I think it's basically a dead end, is synchronous audio discussions like Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces and stuff. Like, they've been trying to make this happen in a lot of different places for a long time, and I just don't think anybody wants that. Well, I shouldn't say anybody. I don't think it is a venture scale opportunity. Let's put it that way.
It's a rough experience, even from the user perspective, a lot of times, and it's so much focus and attention like hyper attention for long periods of time, which is the exact opposite direction that the majority of anything is going. So
it feels a lot like when you watch like a conference where like somebody sits in front of like a big audience, like a Twitter space, and it's like you have no visualization of it.
Right.
It's either that or you get people just like fighting each other. I've seen that too. Just like fights on Twitter spaces, and you have like 100 people just like listening to people fight each other. Yeah. That definitely.
And 100 people is not that much.
No.
So that's like, you know, best case scenario.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like when fucking Ben Horowitz got, you know, all these rappers to go on Clubhouse and stuff. And that was like the best case scenario is you could hear 21 Savage, you know, yelling at someone. And then someone would just screen record that and put it on YouTube. And that's where everybody would consume it. Because I just don't think people want to passively listen to live audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 100% here. Bringing it back to the content a bit here. So I was going to ask you when you really started getting into content. But I know from some of your videos, you were making like zines all the way back in high school, right? So, I mean, has there ever been a time you weren't producing content in your life?
No. No. No, I did zines in high school, and then I did some blogs after that. I mean, maybe like for a year here and there or something, but that's it. I did blogs after that when blogging started, you know, to replace zines. And then after YouTube replaced blogging, I started doing that. So, you know, my sort of thought has always been you skate where the puck is, you know?
Yeah. And you mentioned really enjoying threaded discussions. Is that still one of your favorite ways to interact and make content, or have you kind of found a place? I know you make a lot of video content now, but like, what was the sweet spot where you're like, wow, this was awesome? Was it blogging? Was writing kind of where you...
Well, there's a difference between what I would choose to consume and what I make, you know what I mean? Like, in my free time, the thing I look at more than anything else by far is Reddit. Like, I look at that, you know, many, many times a day.
What areas of Reddit are you going through? Like, what is it? What content do you consume? That's not what I expected. I expected you to be like, yeah, I'm looking at other, you know, kind of short documentary creators and stuff like that on YouTube, but...
No. Personal finance, investing, startups, product management, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't really consume any kind of music content, you know, in my free time.
Not even our boy Fantano? You're not on the needle drop?
No, he's great. I literally don't even listen to music, really,
where did the punk stuff come from? Is this just like you grew up listening to punk music and you're like, fuck it, I want to make content about this? Like, how did this start?
Well, back in the day when I was a kid, or like on YouTube.
Oh, we just mean like, you know, you mentioned you don't even really listen to music anymore. Like, where did the punk rock NBA come from? Like, what was the inspiration for?
Well, originally I wanted to talk about business, which is sort of, you know, the thing I'm kind of more interested in. But turns out nobody gave a shit when I talked about that. And I said, well, I know how to talk about, cause you know, I had music blogs and stuff for years. So I was like, well, I definitely know how to talk about music. Let me try that. Cause I just wanted to build an audience on YouTube. It wasn't as important to me what the topic is. I just wanted to see if I could do it, you know? And I started talking about music, and then instantly things got, you know, got a lot more traction. I was like, okay, well, I guess this is what people want from me. And in hindsight, that makes sense for a lot of reasons. Number one, because especially at that time, why would somebody necessarily listen to me talk about business? I had some, you know, accomplishments that I think are pretty cool, but maybe not cool enough that people would, you know, view me as any sort of authority, number one. And number two, in hindsight, there's actually nobody on YouTube that talks about business in a sophisticated way that has like a big audience.
Yeah. I don't know. You've been on LinkedIn for a while. I mean, you know this now. You don't actually have to have any experience or knowledge to just spew shit on LinkedIn at this point.
But there's some smart people on there. And like,
oh, absolutely.
There's a very big difference. Like, if you want to have like an actually thoughtful conversation about business, LinkedIn is going to be the best place to do it. And so I do like reading LinkedIn a lot. If you follow the right people, you know, you can find a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah, I just... Yeah, we run, so we run the SaaS circles, right? That's where we're at right now. And like, it is, there is just a cesspool that you can get in and of circle jerking on LinkedIn, where it's just echo chambers and echo chambers. It's like as bad as Reddit in some places.
But I mean, that's the case anywhere. But at least, you know, I mean, that's just sort of the nature of the beast with online communities. And you have to just put in the effort to find the good ones. And, you know, like with Reddit, I mean, so much of Reddit is just a rich guy, bad circle jerk. And it makes me want to throw myself on a sword, you know, just like everybody. Just, oh, my God. OK, I get it. America's awful. Capitalism is terrible. Anybody that has any more money than you is a horrible person. I get it. So, you know, you just have to like stay out of those communities and find the ones that aren't, you know, quite so crazy and dumb. And, you know, it's the same thing with LinkedIn. There's a lot of really smart people there sharing a lot of really, you know, thoughtful frameworks and stuff like that. And, you know, that absolutely know their shit. Those are the people that I, you know, pay attention to.
Nice. Yeah. I've definitely made some of my best connections, obviously, in business through LinkedIn. So it is definitely a place to be. You mentioned you just kind of have to find the communities and foster the communities that you're, you know, that aren't as degenerate, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
How has your experience been with your audience and the Discord? And, you know, I assume you have two very different audiences between the business and the punk rock NBA stuff, but how have you managed that?
Well, I mean, I still get people spamming me about their band on LinkedIn, which is insane to me, but, seriousness, one thing, no, it's not.
It is awesome from a comedy perspective. It's not awesome.
Somebody sent me, God, I wish I had it to show you, but like somebody sent me like a screenshot. He's like, this is my son's metal band. I think you might like it. And the cover art was like a cow's ass with like somebody crawling out of it holding like a knife. And I'm like, what in God's name made you think that this was like, if you send me that on Instagram, that's bad enough. But like, what in God's name? And he's whatever, you know, senior manager of supply chain at whatever. What possessed you to think that this was like a good idea?
It's like that you could just, you're like, I know who your manager is. It's right. You're two clicks away from me just talking to your manager.
You're like, hey, Nick, just so you know. You know, your supply chain guy is sending me this weird ass shit.
Oh my God.
But like in all seriousness, what I have realized, and I don't want anybody to take this might sound like a shitty thing to say, but it's just a statement of fact, or I believe it is a statement of fact. The majority of people who participate in online conversations, less so on LinkedIn of all platforms, which is the reason why I like it, but in particular on places like YouTube and Reddit, are mentally ill of some kind. Or, no, I'm serious. Like, normal, like, I mean, do you go leave comments on YouTube videos?
Yeah, you're right. That's,
you know.
Sometimes, it depends on the video.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, saying it's, like,
an
absolute.
Mike has
like,
a mental illness, though, so that's okay.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I've just noticed this. In particular, like, there is just a lot of autism out there, you know, in the comments and stuff like that. So I have just sort of realized that you're not, and especially the larger your audience gets, the more of that you see. So you're not going to have like a lot of thoughtful engagement when you're getting hundreds of thousands of views on a video. It's just not going to happen. You're getting, the bigger the audience is, the worse the signal to noise ratio is, basically. You just get a lot of really unhinged people that are commenting. Now, there's lots of, you know, stable, normal people that watch and probably love it and don't comment because, like, that's just not what they're going to do with their time. So I guess to answer your question, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of weird people out there, and that just sort of comes with the territory as your audience gets bigger.
At the risk of alienating you from your audience, is that true also in your Discord, or have you found like more thoughtful?
Oh, it's definitely true there. definitely. I joke with them about it all the time. I've gotten to the point on my Twitch where I diagnose people with autism in real time. Like, just based on their chat, I'm like, hey, genuine question, are you autistic? And they're like, yes. I'm like, okay, I can tell, just so you know. And like, I'm probably a little bit on the spectrum too, which is the reason why I'm not making fun of it. I'm not putting him down. Like, none of, like, you guys are laughing, but I'm not. I just want to be clear for anybody watching or listening to this. Like, I'm not laughing at these people. Like, I can just spot the patterns so easily now. And I say, hey, are you autistic? I say this on my Discord all the time too, because someone will come in there acting in a certain way, and I'm like, okay, I think I know what's going on here. I'm like, are you autistic? And they say, yes. Why? They say, well, just so you're aware, the way that you're coming off right now is the following. Like, you're welcome here, but please don't, you know, please stop doing this. And they're like, okay.
That's actually a really mature kind of way and response of handling some of the off the rocker.
Yeah.
Or not off the rocker people, but like the people who are acting that way, right?
Yeah, because I don't think autistic people are off the rocker.
Yeah, it's the presentation, like you said.
It's just a different across. It's a different style of cognition. That's all it is. It's like you're watching a different movie. And I say this as somebody that, like, I have to, like, put I have to put continuous conscious effort into the way I speak and act at all times, 24/7, all the time, because if I don't, I'm going to come off probably in a way that, you know, I don't want to. So I don't think that they're off their rocker. I think that they just sometimes, maybe, you know, just like I have need, there's been many times in my life where I've needed someone to kind of like nudge me back, you know, back in the guardrails, you know, that's what they need sometimes. And if they can't handle it, then, you know, then they got to go. Because even if I'm compassionate and I understand why they are the way they are, you know, you gotta set boundaries in communities or else things are going to go off the rails.
Yeah. Anonymity is a double-edged sword too, you know.
Yes. Like, people
can just say whatever they want without, you know, any real repercussion if they can hide behind a username and a, you know,
right,
Reddit profile,
right,
picture.
And especially when it comes to, you know, the kind of music that I talk about, you know, being like punk rock and metal and stuff like that. I actually read a really interesting piece of research which confirms all this. It was from a psychology journal. I forget which one, but it's on PubMed if you want to look it up. It's called Cognitive Styles and Musical Preferences, I think.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street Podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
And basically what it talks about is, you're laughing, but I'm not, I'd like...
No, I'm going to explain why I'm laughing. I'm okay. Laughing because I'm diagnosed as like high-functioning ADHD, pretty bad ADHD, and then I'm also pretty sure I'm a bit on the spectrum as well, and I fall into a certain music category. And I know exactly where you're going.
Exactly.
My wife is a music theory major, and she gives me shit constantly.
Yeah, so basically what this study says is there's like S-type and E-type cognitive styles. S-type is like systems, you know, whatever it is, and E is like empathizing. And as you would expect, people with like an E-type cognitive style listen to Taylor Swift, and people in S-type cognitive style listen to Slayer, you know, to make a long story short. So, you know, basically it's, you know, there's like academic research to support the things that I'm saying here. It's not me. People think I'm just like stereotyping and I'm not.
Yeah. No, I believe it. There's a guy who had crazy ADHD that I worked with at one point in time. And I was like, what kind of music do you listen to? And it was like, you know, Norwegian black metal style, like super hardcore, like, no, like.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.
It sensory fires, overload.
Yes. It fires enough receptors. Okay,
exactly. That's the stimming. It's a form of stimming.
Exactly. Yeah. It's why I have like a Diet Coke with some caffeine. Yep. I found out I self-medicate.
A little bit of grindcore every now and then's all right, you know. But
just
not,
a dash.
It's not, when I'm writing code, I code during the day. When I write code, it's not typically the thing I'm listening to.
See, when I used to write code, I would just listen to death metal all the time for that exact reason that. Like, basically, if, like, you've raised the ambient level of stimulation, it actually, like, calms your brain if you, you know, have the type of brain that I do.
Do you know who Dr. K is on Twitch, like, a healthy gamer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's had, like, some really, really helpful explanations on a lot of that stuff about how, like, the threshold of sensory and everything to help me figure those pieces of myself out. It's like,
Oh, that's why I'm this way. Yeah, exactly.
I thought you were going to take it down the path of how degenerate the like pop punk was 10 years ago with their female obsession and their breakups and how ridiculous that was.
Oh,
that was the same types of degenerate people that wind up in the community. So.
No. And again, I would never refer to autistic people as degenerate. I don't believe that.
Clarify all that.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all. I think, you know, butthurt, misogynist, you know, lyrics or whatever, to me, a totally, you know, different category of thing.
That's why I thought we were going there.
Yeah.
No, I don't get any of that in my Discord. It's just like well-meaning autistic people, that's all.
I take those over the butthurt misogynist every day, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, they just want to go in there and like talk about metal all the time, which is totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask, because we have the punk rock NBA here. Do you think punk is dead?
I don't care.
That was about what Ben expected the answer
I'm
to be.
I'm clipping it.
Put it with the thing before it, too, yeah.
Literally before, he was like, I'm going to ask him if he thinks punk is dead. He's going to tell you that he doesn't fucking care and shut up, Mike. That's what he's going to tell you.
When I work out in the morning, I listen to SaaS podcasts.
No. No. My dreams have been ruined. No, I'm just kidding. What's SaaS podcast?
This morning I listened to Equity, the TechCrunch podcast, with my man, Alex Wilhelm, who I was thrilled when he followed me on Twitter. That was like one of the proudest moments of my life. Because I've been a fan of his for many years.
I love this dichotomy of like, you know, you built this persona of like the punk rock NBA. You did come up in the punk scene and stuff. Yeah. And you're just working real hard to get into like, I am the tech persona as well. I'm the business product
persona.
No,
I gave up on that. I gave up on it. People will always think of me as the music person. That's fine.
You know. But I grew up on the pop punk, and like, you know, I was like, I'm never going to work a corporate job, and now I'm 100% corporate. I'm like, how do I get back? How do I get out of the fact that I make business systems?
I always wanted to have just like a normal 9-to-5 corporate job, but they didn't want me. So I've had to do things the hard way, which I wish I didn't. I would much rather just have like a normal 9-to-5 job and, you know, like, just be a fucking senior manager at Microsoft or something like that, but it just...
And then you could have been DMing people like yourself pictures of your son's metal band.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, music is not really the central thing in my life, but I understand that, you know, I'm definitely wired differently than the rest of the world, that's for sure. So, you know, for other people, you know, they go to work at their SaaS job and dream about music, and I do the opposite. So,
sounds like some burnout.
Some what?
Some burnout. Like you're a little burnt out on the. Yeah. Are you getting burnt out on it?
On what? On music?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's like anything else. I just put on my product manager hat of like, you know, you make the thing that people want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if you run a restaurant and people like the hamburger, you don't tell them you're burnt out on hamburgers and stop making it.
But you might be sick of making the hamburgers, but you'll still make
them.
Yeah.
Well, I am a product person like through and through, and I always have been because, you know, I mean, that's what I've been doing for a career for the past 20 years. So, you know, it's just not an option to make the thing you want to make. You know what I mean? I will never see the world that way as like an artist sees it of like, oh, I'm on a mission to, you know, make this thing I want to make and bring it to life because the world needs this thing that's inside me. You know, this is not how my brain works. It's like my job is like to figure out what people want and then make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like it's a version of that, right? I mean, it's a version of the thing inside you is making something that people want and doing a good job at it, right? That's your version of that, right?
Yes. But it's different because it's not motivated by a desire to like express myself. I just want money. You know?
Truthful.
No, for real. I mean, I grew up poor.
When
I was 34, everything I own fit in 6 fucking boxes.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. I was making under 30K a year for while I was having a kid and was like, oh, fuck.
That's scary shit.
Yeah, that's why I'm corporate now. That's why I make business systems now.
It's scary shit, you know? Yeah. And if other people want to be purists and, you know, just make art for the sake of art, that's totally cool. And I respect that. And like a lot of really brilliant people think that way, and that's cool. But it's not me, you know?
Well, I don't want to end this on a completely realistic downer note. Not necessarily.
I don't think
downer.
It's a downer.
Not downer,
I think it's
but
freeing. I think it's freeing to like, you know, I feel bad for people who, and I know a lot of people like this, a lot of like YouTubers and stuff that are my friends that are like kind of tortured because like, you know, they just really, they can't just do the thing that people want. You know what I mean? And it causes them like distress and anguish. Whereas I don't have that. It's like, I mean, I worked on a lot of like laundry care stuff for P&G. I did like a lot of stuff for like Swiffer and Tide and stuff like that. Bounce, fabric softener. I had never bought fabric softener in my life when I worked on Bounce, but I don't need to, you know, I never cared about laundry. I don't think the design managers there cared about laundry either, but I don't have to. Like, it's just fun and interesting to me to like try to solve a problem. That's what I like to do. So, okay. So the Bounce project that I did, we had to make a long story short, improve the package a little bit. And because Bounce at the time, I don't know what it is now, but at the time Bounce was selling 400 million units a year. So if we added 1 cent of cost to that box, you got to multiply that by 400 million units. They got to write a $4 million check, which they're prepared to do, but you need to justify why you want to add 1 cent of cost to that box. That's interesting and fun to me. I don't need to be passionate about the product category. Like you said, I just like to solve a problem. And like, to me, like getting people to give you their time and money, that's fucking hard. And so to me, that's like the ultimate like challenge. If you can make something that people like so much that they will give you time or money for it, I think that's pretty cool. That's fun to me, is like just cracking that code. So it's not like me giving up and just cynically being like, oh, whatever. It's just like, that is an interesting challenge to me. Much more so, like I can make something that I think is cool, but who gives a shit? It's to me much more interesting to make something that you think is cool. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you were talking about your friends who are tortured and like between the two. I feel like the issue there is that they've tied the income piece to the art piece, right? Like if you can separate them, which is a lot of what I've done, right? I was a fine arts major, wood print that I've carved in my back, right? But it's like when I separated them and income became, I'm just going to do what gives me money so that I can feed my family. And then if I have extra time, I'll go make art. that I want to make, which is awesome. But when you tie them together, it's just unlimited stress. It's very difficult.
Unless you're one of the people who just happens to have like the amazing overlap of the thing that I am passionate about making also happens to be a thing that the market highly values. Awesome. If you're one of those people, then hats off to you. But, there's not
it's
a lot of
one in
that.
A million.
Yeah.
Everybody can't be that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's less than one in a million. That's like, one in 10 million.
Yeah. I have no idea what the scale is. I can't visualize it. But something large. Very large.
Yeah. I mean, I bet you that there's, I bet you that there's statistically like a better shot at being like a pro athlete than, being like a YouTuber that makes over 100 grand a year or something like that,
I would believe that. There's enough teams probably.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. So we're kind of messing around. We should wrap this up. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know
That I was about to run into, but like we gotta wrap this up. But any final thoughts for the listeners?
My final thoughts for listeners are make sure you tune in 9 a.m. Pacific for the morning zoo during drive time. Watch out for brake lights in the 405, everybody. Heading into the weekend, we've got Mike and Ben heading into the weekend, everybody.
Thanks, Ben. We'll see you around.
Take care. Thank you.
Hello, listeners. Look at your favorite creator. Now back to me. Now back at your creator. Now back to me. Sadly, they aren't chatting with you, but if they started using Holler for exclusive video calls, they could be. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're still listening to the radio, but you could be on a call with your favorite creator. What was that? Back to me. I have it. It's an invite to an exclusive live call with the creator you adore. Look again. The invite is now VIP access. Anything is possible when your creator uses Holler. I'm on a horse.
Come back here, listeners. That was Finn McKinty of, Finn McKinty fan. I mean fame from FinnMcKinty.com, but also Punk Rock NBA. We found out a lot here. And Mike, I think you were surprised.
Yeah, very surprised. He's a businessman. This is the business Finn. Punk is dead. It's fucking roasted. Not coming back. No, the dude was super smart with business.
Doesn't care, I think, were the exact words.
No,
it's dead.
Yeah. No, he took an educated guess on an audience that was wanting content. He saw it very, very supply and demand-esque. And the guy, I think, genuinely does like music. We talked to him about some other things on the break. And, so it's not like there's entirely no passion or anything, but like he definitely found an audience that wanted content, and he makes incredibly good content around it. And it was great to break open and figure out the process and what he's into and all that.
Yeah, he didn't dive too much into this. He kind of danced around it a bit, but I think he sold himself short because he did have a passion, and his passion was figuring out how to give people exactly what they want in a way that most people will never, that like product marketers dream of, like he has that ability of, I can see a market, I know what the market wants, and I can make it to give it to them. And
exactly.
That's what he likes to do. And he likes to solve those problems. And that is an artistic expression, whether he wants to admit to that piece or not.
Yeah.
But that is like his thing, and he does it well. And it happens to be punk music.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
and he's worked with other bands and he's familiar with the industry. Like, he knew what was up.
Yeah. That was, a very twisty, turny call time. More than usual, but it was fun. It was fun to find out all of the different kind of facets to the jewel that is Finn McKenty over there. Thanks again for calling in. With that, listeners, we're going to send you on your way here. That's all we got time for tonight. But as always, this is The Link. I'm Ben Moyer. This is...
Mike Miller is my name.
Sometimes he forgets his name. It's okay. And we're going to send you on your way with Hello Yellow by... Also going to read this name. Lupus Nocht featuring Zorro. Oh, it's Zorro again. We like Zorro over here.
Yeah.
And as always, stay linked, stay inspired, and keep creating. We'll catch you next week.
You told me there'd be better days and nothing that can pull us under. You want to take the pain away, but know that I was born as a fighter. We fail, we fade, but we're better than that. We're better than that. I know you know, so why are we holding on?
Yes, we're out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Bowie, Dylan, Marley.
You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.